Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're watching SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Rise and shine, sports fans. It is another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Today is the 19th anniversary of September 11th. Let's cock-a-doodle-do it. This is the early line right here on Sports Grid, giving you the edge. I am Dane Martinez. I got my main man, Kevin Walsh, the candle burner, live and direct, helping us give out winners and hopefully make you have a profitable day. We will try to put the fun in functional sports content at the same time. And Kevin, boy, did we have some football. What are your overall thoughts? I mean, it was exciting to have some football. I even saw fans in parking lots tailgating, throwing the football around. The fans got loud in the stands at times, credit to the 16,000 plus people who were there. But ultimately, the Kansas City Chiefs defending their Super Bowl crown get off to a good start. They beat the Houston Texans 34-20. And I gotta tell you something, Kev, we were talking about it off air. With the addition of this rookie running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, out of LSU, right? The stats are one thing, but the value he provides to this Kansas City offense, because now, like we were saying before, some teams may try to play them a certain way or pick the poison. Now, if you're going to say, okay, beat us with the run, the Chiefs have the ability to do that too.
Yeah, they absolutely do. It's kind of like if you were to give out grades. They were never one-dimensional, but their passing game was always an A+. And now if the run game's also an A+, good luck. And to be fair, it was good luck before that. Not only did the Chiefs get the cover, but this game went over. And I know this is something that you and I disagreed upon. 54 total points. This is very much so a case where people learned right away. Matters when you get it in. You know, it sat out there for a while.
Yeah.
56.5.
Boy, did it.
54.5. But then it came down to 53.5 as well as 52.5. And ultimately, we get 54 points in this game. Now, maybe you'll see it differently, but I look at 54 and I think that's a deserved over. Edwards-Helaire stopped at the goal line. I mean, if he's a good back, he might not ever get stopped inside the 5 again, just based on simple regression numbers. Yeah, DeMarcus Robinson dropped the touchdown to open up that game. The missed two-point conversion took a couple of points off the boards as well from the Houston Texans. And, you know, a lot of people wondering how much would the play suffer. I thought the offenses, especially the Kansas City Chiefs, looked incredibly crisp. And really, I don't think moving forward, we have to say, okay, let's dock points off these totals.
I see what you're saying. And besides Robinson dropping some balls, right, too, in the end zone, one that was called a touchdown and then overturned, one on one of those prototypical amazing Patty Mahomes plays on a play that was intended to be a swing pass for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But then, you know, Mahomes' magic and Robinson actually dropping it. The Chiefs were incredibly crisp, yes. But then the question is, do you apply what many people believe might be the best offense in the NFL as the kind of trend that you're going to think will be across the NFL? I'm not so sure that I'm ready to say that. What we do know is that it is going to be very, very hard to defend the Chiefs, right? You talk about the A-plus run game versus pass game. You know, they made the point on the telecast that they were going to try to bend, not break. The Chiefs had, I believe, a 16-play drive at one point. You know, the idea that they were not going to have, but there weren't many over-the-top plays, right? You didn't see the Tyreek Hill bomb much. As we welcome the radio audience in around the country, there was that first, you know, touchdown that got overturned early in the first quarter. I don't know that there were many other deep passes, really. And to me, that signals that Houston was, you know, going to play them a certain way. And now the Kansas City Chiefs have the answer when a defense, you know, poses slightly different questions. I will also say this, though, Kev, on the Houston side, a lot of people, you know, with the DeAndre Hopkins, you know, trade and move, like, oh, they don't know what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. David Johnson, I thought, had an interesting game. 11 carries, 77 yards. He gets into the end zone as well. You know, we're lauding Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he was awesome, right? He averaged over 5 yards a carry. David Johnson averaged over 7 yards a carry as well. What do you think about from the Houston side of things?
Yeah, I think David Johnson looked really nice in his debut for this football team. Ultimately, you know, Duke Johnson is someone who people always say, man, if they just let this guy work. Listen, while David Johnson is healthy, stop wasting time with Duke. He's not as good of a back. And there was a couple of times that Bill O'Brien tried to, you know, get cute and give him carries up the middle, and it cost them dearly. I think the other thing as well, and it somewhat relates to the total, but, you know, early in this game, 4th and 4 from their own, from the 50,
yeah,
and the Texans punt. And, you know, Bill O'Brien tried to kill this total on his own. And in fact, actually later in the game on a 4th and 3, the Texans 43, the Chiefs punted, but that was situational. But the fact that Bill O'Brien seemingly didn't learn the lesson of last year, the fact that he clearly took no time to, you know, the benefit of analytics, probably didn't have the chance. He was too busy making trades. The Texans have to look at that fourth quarter and try and figure out those two touchdowns, right? The first time they had scored since the first quarter, since their second drive, a result of garbage time and being handed trips into the end zone? Or do they actually find something there with high tempo and a lot of Watson out of the gun?
Yeah, and for prop bet folks, for fantasy folks, garbage time matters. I mean, Deshaun Watson actually threw for more yards than Patty Mahomes somehow. Also, I want to make the note, Jordan Akins, interesting tight end that was being used by the Texans. May want to keep an eye out on him. And Will Fuller dominates the targets for the Houston Texans. He had 10, you know, other guys like Cobb and Cooks did not come close. We got a ton of other games to discuss. Week 1 on the horizon. We will do that when we come back right here. The early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back right here. This is The Early Line. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Dane Martinez, and it is time to break into this week one slate. What an absolute treat on the heels of Chiefs-Texans. We just want to keep running through these games, and that's what we're going to do over the course of these next 2 hours. And we get it started with an NFC North showdown between the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. Over at the FanDuel Sportsbook, you see the Detroit Lions laying 3 at home, minus 146 on the money line, and the total there of 42.5. The big storylines here from the Lions side of things, healthy Matt Stafford, offensively looked great with him on the field last year. There is some questions about whether Kenny Golladay will be available for this team, which is incredibly important just from what we can expect from this offense. And of course, those out there that'll be playing fantasy, you know, Marvin Jones might be a must start in some lineups if Golladay is going to be absent. On the Chicago Bears side of things, the story is Mitch Trubisky. And the quarterback situation there will be the story all year long until we decide we no longer care about that Bears team, which, to be fair, might not take very long. But Trubisky still going to get an opportunity to start up against the Detroit Lions here. Now, I take a look at this game, and there's only one way that I want to play it, because I don't want to lay 3 points with Matt Patricia, who has been incredibly poor in the NFC North and actually has yet to beat Matt Nagy. And as much as I'd like to take these 3 points with Nagy, who has been really good in division, in fact, I believe 9-3 is where he sits in division to start his tenure. I, though, don't want to do this because Mitch Trubisky's the starting quarterback. What I will do, though, is I will play this over. 42.5 feels light to me. I look at the games that Stafford started last year, 7 games that he started for this team, and or 7 of 8 times, rather, that he was the starter for this team. It went over this number. I expect the Lions to still be able to move the ball. This Bears defense is far removed from what they once were, and I don't think that this Detroit Lions team defensively is all that good. I think, again, a reasonable person might look at this and worry about needing Mitch Trubisky to carry his part of the load here, but this is a game that I actually think might be that near the 50s, Dane. I am expecting this game to go over this 42.5 number.
Okay, fair enough. What I want to ask you about this game, because we got to also let people know in terms of some of the injuries that are out there. I don't know if you talked about it, but Kenny Golladay has been missing the last couple of practices. He, obviously, the number one wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. It sounds like you expect maybe some points to be scored. How much does the up-in-the-air status of Kenny Golladay matter to you?
Yeah, I think it certainly limits what we can expect from the Lions to a degree, although I am hoping that they are looking to kind of sling it by any means necessary. Yeah, maybe this could remove a couple of points from our numbers. I just think it really just changes our approach in terms of a Marvin Jones, a guy who I would say on a week-to-week basis struggle to figure out when you feel confident in starting versus sitting. This would be a matchup. If he's the clear one, you have to play him.
Yeah, absolutely. We also will find out what the balance of work looks like in that Detroit backfield. Remember, at one point, they were talking about Kerryon Johnson being the starter. DeAndre Swift, a little bit banged up, did get into limited practice. And then, of course, they make the move to acquire Adrian Peterson. So we will see how that breaks out. Another game that I am very interested in, Kev, the Cleveland Browns go to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. You talked at the beginning of the show that it matters when you get it, and we have seen some movement in this line. This line started, Kev, at all the way up to like 8.5, almost 9 in some places. It is now down to 7.5. The Cleveland Browns actually had a victory over the Ravens last year. You and I have both been finding reasons to think positive regression could be the case in Cleveland. How do you see this one? Is over a touchdown too many points?
So 7.5, I think in any of these games feels big on the surface. Wow, they're going to beat this team by two scores, right? You kind of start to think it's got to be double digits, 10 or 14. Let me throw something at you, Dane. The Ravens, over their last three week ones, are up on aggregate by a score of 126-13.
Yeah.
3 years ago, they beat the Bengals 20-0. Then they beat the Bills 47-3. And then we all remember last year, 59-10 against the Miami Dolphins. John Harbaugh is excellent in week ones. I think that this team is going to be as hungry a group as you could imagine after what they did last year and then ultimately not being able to even put one playoff win under the belt. I like the Browns this year. I think that the Browns should be much better than they were last year.
Right.
And yes, they certainly went out there and competed with this Ravens team and were one of the very few that actually took a game off of them. But Baltimore here, laying 7 in the hook, maybe you buy it down to 7. I think the Ravens have a good chance to roll.
Okay, that would mean covering this over a touchdown spread. So keep an eye out on that. And when we're talking about these things, guys, remember the idea of who wins the game outright and who covers a spread are two very different things. The Browns will have a leader of their offense and a leader of their defense. A former number one pick with a chip on their shoulder on offense, Baker Mayfield. And on defense, Myles Garrett plays that role. Obviously, remember what he got into with Pittsburgh last year and Mason Rudolph. Let me ask you about Baltimore, though, here. My question is this. And we've had these conversations about a number of teams, Kev. What is this backfield going to look like? When we did our exercise back in, you know, months ago, right, mid-pandemic, we considered this clearly a committee with the quarterback involved, right? You know, Mark Ingram is still there, tried and true. The rookie J.K. Dobbins has been getting praise left and right. There's still Gus Edwards. We know Lamar will run as well. How do you expect this to break out? And similar, is there anything you would be looking for in the prop market? It's almost like I'm asking you about the Miami Heat or the Boston Celtics, right? Like, out of the herd of talent, which one will emerge? How do you think it looks like for the Baltimore running backs?
Yeah, I think, you know, you kind of have to start asking yourself, do you like this game to go over the number? If so, then free reign, right? Whether it's Ingram, Lamar, Dobbins in there, look, have a field day. But I believe they had recent comments that they're thinking about using four different backs, and I don't think that includes Lamar. This is a team that's going to look to mix it up. I think they're going to diversify their approach to the run game continuously. I do think that when we talk about efficiency, and we saw this last year with Mark Ingram, and it'll be the same case with a J.K. Dobbins or even a Gus Edwards, these guys are going to make the most out of their carries. They might all average, you know, 5 yards a clip. That's what happens when Lamar is the one handing it off. They just have to account for another guy in the run game. But when you're betting props, most times you kind of want a base level of attempts. It's similar when we're talking hoops. If I'm going to go over a guy's points prop, I'd like to make sure I have a floor of attempts that allows me to feel comfortable. I don't know if you're going to have that in Baltimore, certainly not in week one.
Yeah, no, I think it's true. You may want to wait and see to see how the chips fall in this one, right? But I think you're right, the idea of the efficiency. And you're also right, what happens to the running back and their ability to be efficient when the defense has to account for other things, right? And in some cases with Baltimore, we're saying this is obviously Lamar as a runner. Last week, I was talking to you about this as it related to Leonard Fournette, right? What he might be able to do as a runner because defenses will be playing him differently than ever before in his life. And I have a similar thought when we talked earlier in this show about kind of the Kansas City running attack and what they will be running up against. So the case, that theory is true, regardless of it's like, what Lamar can do to the run game, right? Like what the other weapons on the outside can do to the run game, or if you're just such a dynamic passing offense that they can't bring in that eighth man in the box, like maybe seeing with a Leonard Fournette. I will say this, though. Some people are asking me if the Baltimore Ravens are a good survivor pick this week, Kev. And I got to tell you, my answer is no. Okay, because in general in Survivor, I don't like taking divisional matchups. You know what I mean? They can talk about like throwing the records out the window, that sort of thing. Cleveland did in fact get a victory against this team last year. So while they're probably a deserving favorite, it is over a touchdown. I would stay away from them in Survivor. What do you think?
I think Survivor is an absolute nightmare this week because I ultimately think a lot of people are going to end up taking a road team in division. I think that's where you're going to see a lot of people go. I think it's a very, very tough call.
It is a tough call. And, you know, I'll make you laugh right here. You know, with all the picks and all the plays that we've discussed, you know who my Survivor pick was this week? The Kansas City Chiefs. We'll be back with more early line after this with the news update up now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, everybody. Right back here on the early line on Sports Grid, including our radio audience, especially out west with the mightier 1090. I'm Dane Martinez. I got my man, the candle burner, Kevin Walsh, with me as well. It's a Football Friday here, and so we continue to look at some of the games, and I find this one intriguing, Kev. Up in the NFC North, where the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers are going to go into an empty Minnesota Vikings stadium. There's not going to be the huge skull clap going on, and the Vikings are 2.5-point favorites. Kev, this one is one where I worry, or not worry, wonder about the home field advantage and the fans in the stands, because the Vikings are one of those places where at home, their defense plays much better. At home, they have that home field advantage. I think this is going to be a case to see the impact of that. You know, the road quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, is not going to have to go to the silent count, things of that nature. I wonder what happens in this matchup. Do you think, I'm not saying that's going to be a factor, but an interesting spot to take note of the lack of fans.
Yeah, I think that's a good point when you just consider the perception of what Minnesota's fans can bring to the table. What I'm worried about is what happened the last time we were in this spot. In Minnesota, Cousins versus Rodgers. At that point, the division was on the line. Now, I will not argue to you that this is a more important game because the division was on the line.
It's week one, yeah.
This is a tempo setter. This is a statement to be made by both of these groups. And what happened the last time those teams played, where the Vikings were favored over a field goal in that spot, it was 5.5 for a lot of the week. It ended up, I think, ultimately closing around 4. And Kirk Cousins went 16 of 31 for 122 yards. He didn't even get to 4 yards per attempt, which is disgraceful, to say the least. I do think Minnesota could be okay this year. That's about as the least ringing.
That's a strong take. They could be okay.
Could be okay. Listen, the Packers coming back.
They could.
I get it. Right? For me, I'm going to try and play the total here if I'm going to approach this game under the 44.5. When these teams meet up, they are tight, grind them out type of games. This game went under both times they played last year, actually not getting to the 40-point mark in both of those meetings. I'm going to look for an under 44.5. I do not want to be playing the side in this game.
All right, fair enough. I have some things. You know how this is week one, right? So in a lot of cases, Kev, there's places where we're going to have to see how certain things play out, right? See what emerges to see if it's a trend that you may want to hang your hat on and believe in moving forward. Like you said, a tone setter, right? In some cases in fantasy, we may want to see who emerges. And that is something I'm interested in this one. So for example, we've heard that Alan Lazard is likely going to be that number two wide receiver for Green Bay. Then there's buzz about MVS, Valdes-Scantling. I want to see who is the preferred second option for Aaron Rodgers, right? On the Minnesota side, this is Dalvin Cook's rookie year. I mean, not rookie year, contract year, right? So a lot of people are wondering, are they going to just like chew him up and spit him out? The Vikings, similar to what we were talking about with other teams, they had some games where it was Dalvin Cook, 25 carries. Kirk Cousins will throw for like 180 yards, right? But it's efficient, it's smart, and the offense looks good. There's other times. Remember at the beginning of the year last year when Diggs and Thielen were chirping that they weren't getting enough looks, right? And so I want to see that balance of power for the Minnesota Vikings. I also want to see if Justin Jefferson, the kid out of LSU, can join the party of LSU rookies, you know, performing in week one. Do you think we're going to see Justin Jefferson? Who do you think will be wide out two for Green Bay?
Between Justin Jefferson and Olabisi Johnson. I don't trust Zimmer when it comes to using rookies all that much. I think this is a game where go for the top dog. Go for Adam Thielen. There's a reason why he's, you know, was climbing up those draft boards, Dane. It's because you start to look around, and you know this, when it comes to wide receivers in fantasy, is anything more valuable than targets? And Adam Thielen has an opportunity to finish top five in targets. I don't think that's a stretch to say. Well, might be a stretch, actually, if the Vikings are only going to throw the ball 430.
Right.
But right. Target share certainly has a good chance to finish top five. And I say go for the top dog in a big game.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point, right? And then I love the way you even clarified, right? Target share, because that's another thing that we always talk about, right? There's two things there. One, how big is that man's slice of the pie in the pie? But the other part is, how big is the pie itself? And I agree with you. Thielen may have a big percentage of a pie and be a leader in that way, but the Minnesota Vikings passing pie may be smaller than some other teams. So definitely an important thing to note. Our next game, Kev, you know, people think the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't even trying to win. You know, the tank for Trevor, right? They are home dogs by 7.5 points. This was up to, I believe, 8 or 8.5 at one point. They still stand as 7.5 point home dogs. 45.5 is the total in this one. I got to tell you something, Kev. You know, we've been talking about this. Everyone loves the Chiefs. Everyone loves the Ravens. Keep your eye out for the Colts in this division. And the reasons why, for me, are things that the general public doesn't love to talk about. One, the schedule. The Colts have the easiest schedule in the NFL, ranked 32nd right now. They only have 2 road games against teams with winning records last year, and those are their division games against Houston and Tennessee. The other thing is the number one offensive line in the sport, in my opinion. And don't forget, Kev, they made a pretty big addition to their defensive line over the offseason, which I think is truly undervalued in DeForest Buckner, because what does that do? It frees up Darius Leonard to make 8 million tackles this year. I like the Colts a lot. Do you think they go on the road and win by more than a touchdown?
So this is really interesting, and that offensive line you mentioned is the key. Yesterday, we got the update from Adam Schefter. Quentin Nelson, their all-universe guard, missed practice with a back injury, and then Costanzo, the tackle, and then Kelly, the center, were both limited for the second straight day. Now, you take that limited, hopefully they play. But if this team was out 3 of their 5 starters in week one, that would send a shiver down anyone's spine. I think it's important to bring up those numbers that I just mentioned with the Ravens, because the Bills were the perceived worst team in football the year that they entered. I remember getting the conversations, them or Bama. The same exact thing was true for the Miami Dolphins. So think about that.
And they went over their win total.
But still, week one, those two teams got absolutely pummeled. They eventually kind of came back to the fold here. I'm struggling with how to expect this Jags team to perform, especially early. I might argue to you that either the Colts win this game and cover an alternate spread of -20.5 at 3-1, or the Jags cover. Like, I think I would be pretty surprised to just see this be a 10-point Colts win.
This
feels like an absolute rout, or we're sat there going, can you believe that it is 17-16 ball in Gardner Minshew's hand right now?
Yeah, I mean, I remember a couple years ago, the Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe, upset Houston in week one. I know because I had Houston in my survivor pools in week one that year. And so they are capable of pulling this off. And I agree with you that it's almost like we know what the Colts are going to bring. The question is, will the Jaguars, right, like hang with them, make this a competitive fight at home, division, all that stuff? Or do they already have the Cancun on three mindset? And in that universe, could the Colts actually boat race them? I want to make another point, though, with how I mentioned I do like them in the AFC. You know how, Kevin, and even in the NBA and in all sports, you talk about like how you build a team to beat that team in the division that you need to beat or to beat the guy at the top?
Mm-hmm.
The Indianapolis Colts, with their hopefully healthy offensive line and with Marlon Mack, who was one of those backs last year who in Arrowhead when the Colts won, you know, it was Marlon Mack, 24 carries, keeping the ball out of Patty Mahomes' hands. And then I heard Frank Reich say something earlier this week, which gave Jonathan Taylor, like fantasy owners, fits. He said, we drafted Jonathan Taylor to spell Marlon Mack and keep him fresh. Now, for fantasy, for Jonathan Taylor, maybe that's not great news. But for Colts fans, I think it is. Because I think it means that they are committed to this style of play and they are going to be smash mouth. And I think that has proven to, if anything, be the right approach to try to contain the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. They now have a 1-2 punch. People are talking about Phillip Rivers and how he's still maybe careless. I actually don't think they're going to ask Phillip Rivers to do too much in this offense. I think they are going to be led by this power running game, and I'm interested to see how it looks because if it is strong and what they believe, this is their path to the promised land.
Yeah, you know, them trying to recreate what Minnesota did last year makes a little bit more sense because they have a aging quarterback. They have the offensive line to do it. They have, you know, a pretty deep backfield that can handle the type of workload. The question I'll pull back to you, though, Dana, is then what does that mean for this total? Because even if the Colts are running up and down this field and feeling great about themselves, that's going to chew up a lot of clock.
Yeah, and you know my answer on this one. I am leaning unders in week one all the time. And yes, Kev, your Kansas City Chiefs, right? They are an amazing offense. So they look great out the gate. You think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to? I don't necessarily. You think, a new quarterback, new pieces, right? I don't know. I know the Chiefs did, but they're an amazing generational all-world offense with what many people believe is like the best quarterback of all time at the triggers, right? So I don't know if that trend continues, and I would still go under on this game. But boy, do we have more games to talk about, and we will do that. Give you the information you need here on Sports Grid when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here onto the early line, giving you the edge on Sports Grid, Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. And Kevin, we got so many games to discuss. Let's get back into it. This one is interesting as the Vegas Raiders cross the country and travel in a pandemic to the state of Carolina to see the Panthers. We have another example, Kev, of a home dog. Okay, this time the Carolina Panthers are getting 3 points. It was 2.5 at some point. So think about, like you said, Kevin, when you get it and watch for the hook. The total in this one is 47.5. I think the biggest question has to be, Kev, what is this Panthers offense going to look like under new head coach Matt Rhule, with the new passing game coordinator Joe Brady, and under the new quarterback Teddy Bridgewater? What do you expect this to look like? The Saints, LSU, or something different?
I think that this is a team that is going to look to push the ball, push the tempo. I saw a quote the other day from Joe Brady where he was talking about how many receivers they're going to use, because they're going to have no choice, because the tempo they're going to play at, people are going to be tired, they're going to be active, and there's going to be a lot of rotation in that receiving room. And we also expect Christian McCaffrey to still be a big part of this team. Teddy Bridgewater, all he's pretty much done, to be fair, is cover numbers. Last year, unbeaten as the starting quarterback for the Saints. Yes, a part of that is the roster, but he still had to step up and get the job done. And that's exactly what he did here. Before we get to the side, I think the question is for the Panthers, is this a blind over team? As I know you're leaning under in one, but no defense, a lot of excitement about the offense. Is this a team that, you know, maybe the first 4 weeks of the year, we're just going to have to go over?
If you want to plant that flag, right, and have that confidence and faith in what this could look like, yeah, I think there is that potential. I had a couple of shares of Teddy Bridgewater as my QB2 in some leagues, right, because I think he could take that step if this offense, right, becomes what we think it can. And there is no shortage of weapons here, Kev, right? We all know about Christian McCaffrey. Okay, but they have something of a fantasy herd at wide receiver also. And the kind of, I think you've heard me say this before, the XYZ affair, right? You got the deep guy in Robbie Anderson. You have the emerging young stud in DJ Moore. And you have the kind of slot Swiss Army knife in Curtis Samuel. Ian Thomas, I believe, is also a name to watch at tight end, maybe ascending in this offense. So there's no shortage of weapons. I guess the only question, right, for me, Kev, is how quickly will it all come together? Right. They haven't played opponents. They haven't done, anything but these kind of walkthroughs in their own jerseys. I guess the question is, how quickly will it come together? Do you think it will all snap into place?
Yeah. So and that then kind of pulls us onto the side here. And yeah, I've liked Carolina getting this three in their own building for a long time. And my only concern about that is I feel like a lot of people like it. And you know this, Dan. You have to be cautious when everybody
likes
an underdog, right? You have to be careful about that. But the reasons are clear to see. Since Gruden's come back, the Raiders are 3-13 on the road. I don't trust this team traveling to the East Coast. Now, maybe, and I'd like for you to tell me, if in week one we shouldn't worry about that, because maybe we shouldn't, but that tends to be what I'm thinking about, is how poor this team has been traveling. But I would be lying if I didn't say I wasn't becoming a little bit concerned about the fact that not only do I feel like a lot of people are loving this Panthers team plus the three, but the number hasn't moved yet to a 2.5.
Right. It started at 2.5. And then so it's actually moving in the other direction. It's moving away from the Panthers. Okay. This week started with the Panthers at plus 2.5. Now they are plus 3. So they're getting even more love. And you're right, because it's week one. You worry about the travel. Is that a different context? But the body clock is still the body clock, in my opinion. And here's the other thing. We talk about travel as like east to west for the 1 o'clock start, you know? I don't know if you buy this, Kev. But because we are in a pandemic, I think just travel in general is going to be more of a hardship, is going to be more like anxiety causing for these guys. You know, if you're making a long trip, okay, from Vegas to Carolina, yeah, there's the body clock issue, which I think remains. But I don't know, Kevin, like, have you been on a plane in the last 6 months? I haven't, you know, so I just think that any travel is a little bit interesting. What do you think about this Raiders side real quick? You know, we've talked about Renfro. We've talked about Ruggs. We've talked about Braylon Edwards. How do you think that piece shakes out? Because I do think Carr is going to have to throw a bit. And this pass defense of Carolina is a way to attack them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the defense in terrible in general is just going to be terrible. I think Josh Jacobs has the opportunity to have a monster day. I'm excited to see where his rushing yards prop is at. I could very well see myself going over that number. I'm going to be interested to see what we have on a Henry Ruggs to score a touchdown prop. I'll be looking in that market as well.
All it takes is one.
I know this is something that you and I have disagreed on a little bit here about who's going to be top dog when it comes to the Raiders passing game outside of Darren Waller. You like Hunter Renfro. I totally understand why. I like Henry Ruggs.
No, fair enough. And just for the clarification here, you know, when you talk about the term top dog, right? Like, I think it's almost like, can they share that honor on some level, right? Because I think Ruggs is the right bet in terms of yards and touchdowns. But I think Renfro is the right bet in terms of receptions. You know what I mean? So because they do different things, I think it depends on which one you would anoint as top dog if like those statistical leaders were split, you know, in multiple ways. But yes, we will see how it shakes out. Another very interesting game to talk about here is what will the New England Patriots look like, Kev? You know, they're at home. They got the Miami Dolphins coming in. The Miami Dolphins led by Brian Flores, former Patriots coach, you know, and I think that's a interesting dynamic. I also, Kev, you know me, I'm an old man at this point, and you're a millennial, so sometimes I get the how many years ago did this happen wrong. We laughed about that at times. But a few years ago at this point, remember, it was week one. Dolphins Patriots when the Dolphins broke out the Wildcat. Remember that? And it was new and it was different and Ronnie Brown went off. I am very excited to see, not that, but I'm excited to see how Cam Newton is used for the Patriots offense in a similar way, because we might see some read options. We may see him as the goal line back. What do you think Josh McDaniels has up his sleeve for Cam?
So I think what you're kind of alluding to there is why this is one of my favorite bets on the board, over 42 points in this game. Now, I think there's a good chance that the Patriots cover this number, but I think that this team is going to be a little bit of the inverse of what they were last year. All-world defense for a lion's share of that season. They were the best defense in the league, and it wasn't even close. The offense, though, at times left a lot to be desired. I think that this team lost a decent amount of at least depth, bodies, on the defensive side of the ball, and this is certainly not the year that you want that to be the case, to where I think they're going to be a little bit more vulnerable on that side, and I think this Patriots offense has the opportunity to be so explosive to start the year solely through being unpredictable. No, they do not have a great receiving core. They don't. They don't have a backfield that you look at and go, well, look at this guy, look at this guy. They lost Dante Scarnecchia, who, considering how many people know who the offensive line coach of the Patriots was, goes to show how valuable he was for that team in that regard. But I think that this is going to be a team that scores points. I think that this is going to be a team, though, that gives up more points. I like this over 42. And I think I want to lay the 6.5, because even if I think they lost some defensive talent, I still look at this Dolphins team and the offensive line, it still being anything, you know, other than a bottom five unit, would be surprising. They had some opt-outs through the receiving core. And what we know from Ryan Fitzpatrick is every other year, you know, three interceptions from him in this game is not an outrageous statement.
Absolutely. You put up Ryan Fitzpatrick in the same vein as Jameis Winston and Phillip Rivers throwing up those YOLO balls. And the newness in Miami, I think, matters as well. Both of their running back, Howard and Breida, are new. A point I will also make, you talk about some of the receivers who opted out for Miami. The ones who are in are banged up a little bit. Preston Williams and Devontae Parker still on the injury report for Miami. So watch what happens in practice today. Remember, Kev, we want to see that trend line, okay? There are some players that go from limited to DNP. That ain't good, all right? And there's some that are going in the other direction, so keep an eye out on what those Dolphins receivers do. Kev, before we go to break, let's stay in the AFC East, because there's another game in the AFC East. The New York Jets, Jets travel up to Buffalo. Maybe they will go through a table as though they are the Dudley Boys. The Bills are 6.5-point favorites at home. This is one of the lower totals on the board, Kev. Only 39 and a half at last check. A lot of people are high on these Buffalo Bills. I'm one of them. I think this defense, which was top five last year, returns most of their talent. They got some playmakers for Josh Allen, the young ascending quarterback, trading for Stephon Diggs, drafting Zach Moss, who I think is going to be an interesting piece of this offense. And people think the Jets are sort of like a laughing stock, right? How will Le'Veon Bell be used? Key members of the defense opting out, like CJ Mosley. I'm a Jets fan, yet I'm okay laying the 6.5.
No, I think that speaks volumes. For me, yep. The total of 39.5, I think there's a world where we can look back on this and say, can you believe they had a Jets game with a total of 39.5?
Because you think they're going to be like 33 by October?
No, I think that it might be 45. This defense is without talent, period. There's just nobody there. I don't think you can push back on it. They lost Jamal Adams, you know, via the trade. CJ Mosley opts out. What's there defensively to scare people? I think they're going to have no choice but to try and get creative on offense. We know that there's a lot of new weapons and different pieces that they look to bring in. You know, sometimes you see these low numbers on the board and maybe you should just be playing them under, but I tend to think that we could see some points in this game. And also, I might look to isolate the Bills' total, though, here. Their own team's 23.5 with the addition of Diggs and attacking this Jets defense.
You know, and that's interesting because I looked at this too because of my lack of confidence in the Jets offense. I looked at the individual team totals and I saw that the Bills were at like 20-something. The Jets were at 15.5. You think they're scoring more than 2 touchdowns in this one against that Bills defense? You know, that's an interesting point to me. What about the last check I saw was like 15.5.
Yeah, it's up to 16 right now, but the juice is still that under. Oh, yeah. A lot of Jets love out there. That is just not a team that I am over the moon about backing. But let me just make this point. You will see this at times. There are inefficiencies in the market. So the Jets team total is 16. The home team total for the Bills is 23.5. Well, dang, that's 7 on the hook. So you can absolutely argue that you're getting value on the 6.5.
Yeah, that makes a good point. One other thing, it's not a full-on pushback of what you said about the Jets defense, but they didn't have CJ Mosley last year, except for like 3 quarters against this Buffalo Bills team. And one thing that they did do well, Kev, is stop run. Okay, they were second in the NFL in terms of stopping the run. So I am intrigued to see if, you know, they can stop the run. If maybe Quinnen Williams takes a step forward in year two even, right? If they can stop that run, I'm going to be excited to see what it looks like with Josh Allen having it on his arm, having to find Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, the boy Dawson Knox, and others out there, right? If the Jets can stop the run, and they were second best in the NFL last year in doing so. Now, is that going to win games? Not necessarily, but I do want to see what it looks like and how Josh Allen would respond. We have more games to discuss in hour number two. And also, as you know, and as I said at the top of the show, it is a very special day here in the United States of America. We'll talk about that as well when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, right here onto the early line. Dane Martinez and Kevin Walsh. And Kev, I said it at the top of the show, and it's almost amazing to think, like, 2020, we have this pandemic going on. We have this unrest in the country going on. And a lot of people say, like, you know, they're going to remember 2020. We remember where they were. Remember the last time they had a big social event. Well, it is also the 19th anniversary of 9/11, another day that changed this country forever, right? Like we were talking about it off air. You're a little younger than I am. Don't necessarily remember it exactly. I remember it like it was yesterday. I will never forget, as we say. But I also want to talk about like the sports world in that, Kev. You know, like how in this pandemic we talked about we want to have sports back for some normalcy. I remember after 9/11, Piazza hitting the home run, George Bush throwing out the first pitch in that Yankees Diamondbacks World Series, the offensive lineman of the Patriots running out there with the flag in the day, in the week after 9/11. Yet another example of how sports and our society are so intertwined. But today, on the 19th anniversary of 9/11, a day that changed this country forever, we take a minute to remember what happened in that day and all the lives that were lost.
Yeah, I think you think to how people did use the sports to come together, try and find unity, if possible.
Yeah.
And you compare that to where we are today and the sports world trying very, very hard to bring people together. Now, some might argue to you that they're actually dividing, but that's, I think, more so people not opening their mind to the actual message that's being delivered. I think, you know, just a simple gesture of locking arms that we saw from the Chiefs and the Texans, and hopefully people can see what those athletes are doing and understand that it is a message of unity that they're trying to bring forward.
Yeah, I think that's true, right? And we talk about the power of sports being able to do that, if it is used for good or if it is used to be divisive or what have you. But the power of sports in this country, we saw it in the quote unquote moment of unity yesterday before kickoff. And we remember it here on the 19th anniversary of 9/11 and to all the lives that were lost and all the lives that were never changed, which will never be the same in this country, here in New York City and in Pennsylvania and in DC. We come back. Hour number two of the Early Line is up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Keeping your IT team sharp isn't optional, it's essential. CBT Nuggets delivers high-quality IT training led by real-world experts who know what teams actually need on systems teams will actually use. Whether it's staying current on cloud, networking, or security, CBT Nuggets makes training simple, effective, and scalable. No fluff, no wasted time, just smarter, faster IT teams. Thousands of companies trust CBT Nuggets, and yours can too. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and start training today.